Kermalitic, and thanks for listening to Talking Architecture and Design, brought to you in association with the Architecture and Design Network. You can catch up with news, projects, interviews, and much more at architectureanddesign.com.au, where you can also subscribe to our newsletters and magazine. Today we have with us Burak Dinsel, Chairman and Founder of Dinsel Group. Burak Dinsel left Turkey in 1979 with no English and no professional standing in the Australian market. He commenced his University of New South Wales Master of Engineering Science qualification in 1983 and started his own consulting engineering firm in 1989. It has since become one of the biggest multidiscipline practices in Western Sydney over the past decade. Between 2000 and 2005, the structural and civil engineer conducted a very significant R&D program resulting in the Dinsel Wall Building System, a patented PVC wall building material commercialised in 2006. Prior to COVID, his business turned over more than $60 million a year. Today, Dinsel is continuing with the development of new innovations. So welcome to Talking Architecture and Design, Burak Dinsel.
Thank you. Thank you for coming.
Very, very interesting factory. I've got to say, it takes me back to my old days of working in this industry. Tell me the story of Dinsel structural walling and how you came about with this idea.
Yes, certainly. In year 2000, there was an acoustic court case. I believe Harry Seidler's, you know, the buildings in the, you know, the city. People, they start to, you know, sue each other for the acoustic, you know, the matters. And as a result of that court case, Building Code of Australia decided to upgrade the requirements. Mm-hmm. Okay, and these requirements, you know, that were 125 millimeter, you know, minimum thickness of, you know, the concrete for the floor slabs became 200. Single skin brick walls doubled. And Building Code of Australia, you know, the committee published a report. They said these cost increases are going to be 1.8%. I was fairly actively involving with the, at the time, with the, you know, the brick industry. For example, I have, you know, assisted, you know, the Austral, you know, the bricks to develop the, you know, the mighty bricks. And we were designing 8-9-story load-bearing, you know, the brick wall, you know, the structures as an engineers. And, you know, I took there, you know, the case studies. I found out it wasn't 1.8%, it was 18%. I developed, you know, the report, sent it to, you know, everybody in the industry, architects, engineers, even politicians. And from some unknown, you know, the sources, I have been invited to join Building Code of Australia New South Wales chapter. I became one of seven. After a short while, they have invited me national, you know, to the body, and I became member 149. I was basically, you know, saying to these, you know, to the people, oh, look, you are going to kill the, you know, the brick industry, and, you know, for this is 18%, you know, for cost increasing, it's not really suitable, it's not sustainable, it will basically kill the housing, you know, the affordability. Okay, but I quickly, you know, realize there were other, you know, the ulterior motives behind the, you know, the decisions. And, you know, and I saw the things are going, you know, this way, brick industry is going to, you know, to diminish, you know, very rapidly. Okay, and because the brick industry is being used, you know, the apartment, you know, the construction fairly extensively in those days. In addition to those acoustic, you know, requirements, later on we have adopted New Zealand earthquake, you know, the codes that kill the brickwork. You can't use it anything more than 3-story buildings now.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. Exactly, that's right. And then, you know, once I, you know, realize, you know, this, you know, I now go back and I have a look at the pre-year 2000 brick manufacturing. Currently, it's reduced, you know, more than, you know, the 50%. It's halved.
Oh, really?
Okay. The way we are going at the moment, you know, like Japan, you know, in the future, we are only going to, you know, to provide biscuit, you know, the bricks, rather than, you know, using the full bricks. Because when you have a look at the the world's exponentially increasing, you know, the population. Our demand, housing demand is increasing, but at the same time, our skilled labor issue is not basically increasing at the same pace. As a result of that, you know, there are less and less, you know, the people have available in the, you know, the brick industry, okay? And, you know, the currently at the moment, people, they can get the bricklayers.
Yeah.
Once they get, you know, the bricklayers, you know, I mean, they ask too much, you know, the cost, productivity, you know, the issues, you know, that comes into that. What I've done at that time, once I, you know, realized this, I had a, you know, the fairly successful engineering, you know, the business. I left some amount of, you know, the money to my, you know, the engineers. You know, I relieved myself from the, you know, the business. First, you know, the 18 months, I have, you know, done a lot of, you know, the internet, you know, the study. Internet is the biggest library you can find.
It is.
And, you know, you can find anything you want there. My research and development, it's basically took between, you know, late 2000 to 2005. Now, before I developed this, you know, the business, I didn't know, I haven't seen any PVC product. I haven't walked in front of, you know, the PVC manufacturing, you know, the plant. So I had to, you know, to learn manufacturing, production, chemical engineering, fire engineering, you know, did everything, okay? Then, you know, I was looking for, you know, what to use. In those days, there were, you know, the products they've made out of steel sheeting, corrugated steel sheetings, okay? Fiber cement, you know, the sheets. When I have a look at those, you know, the products, I see, you know, the corrosion issues, I see, you know, the fire issues, I see, you know, the heavy weight, you know, the issues, work and health safety, you know, the issues. I said, look, you know, if I'm going to develop, you know, something, it has to be, you know, the one should address the, you know, the corrosion issue, should address the, you know, the workers' health safety, you know, the issue, has to be, you know, the lightweight, you know, all those, you know, the issues. Then, in the development selections of the, you know, the material, I basically, you know, to consider, you know, the different, you know, the approaches, and you know, this, you know, process, you know, to continue.
I've got to say, walking through and looking at your products, how did you come up with it? I mean, what was the inspiration for this actual design, though?
As I said, prior to, you know, the install, I did have a look at what was available at that time, metal sheets, fiber cement, you know, the sheets. Okay, as we said, they were not really suitable for one-man handleability, weight issues, you know, the corrosion issues, you know, that sort of, you know, the things. And I was, you know, asking, you know, myself, you know, what can I, you know, to develop? I thought about, you know, the wine barrels. And wine barrels used for, you know, the last few thousand years is the perfect example, okay, what I have, you know, developed. I have also, you know, the designed concrete-filled PVC, you know, the pipes made out of, you know, the column. Okay? Now, when you bring those two, you know, together, and I thought about my left arm. My left arm has got a bone in it, and surrounded by tissue and, you know, the muscles. The bone is strong in, you know, the compression, weak in, you know, the tension, can basically, you know, the fracture. Hence, as a result, you know, the muscles and, you know, the tissue is giving that, you know, the tensile, you know, the, you know, the, you know, the capacities. And when you have a look at the wine barrels and, you know, the pipes, the circular form is the strongest structural, you know, the forms. Then I said to, you know, the master, I need to, you know, to bring circles next to, you know, to each other, okay, but I need to have them a flat face, okay, for concrete to travel in between those, you know, the tubes. I need to drill those, you know, the tubes. This is how, you know, that, you know, the idea is evolved. So the challenge was to, you know, to join multiple parts to each other, make a flat surface wall, which was a geometrical design, you know, the challenge. The original 200 Nisa consisted three elliptical, you know, chambers with multiple, you know, the webs. They had to be cored for concrete to flow into multiple chambers. But the master stroke, you know, was the inventions of the snap-on connections, as I demonstrated, you know, before. You know, for you can get, you know, the panels 5-6 meters, you know, the high, because of the, you know, the snap connections, you can basically push them each other. This is a glorified Lego.
Yes, it is.
And you push them, you know, to each other. Look, moms and dads are basically, you know, installing, you know, this. Okay, and, you know, very simple, you know, to do that. But the difficulty only, you know, comes with, you know, the bracings, window openings, you know, that sort of things. You know, you need, you know, some expertise in those, you know, the areas. Now, particularly if you have a look at the R275, you know, the diesel, you know, the version, you will see a ring inside. That is the one barrel's rims placed inside of the, you know, the diesel, you know, the profile to stabilize the outside flat faces. The advantage of that one, the internal ring is perforated, it engages the, you know, the concrete, so therefore the concrete and the, you know, the plastics, they work in a composite action. In fact, for Concord Golf Club, we have built Concord Golf Club water harvesting, you know, the tank. Mm-hmm. And which is a government, you know, the project, by the way. And our team has been selected as a designer, a structural engineering, you know, the point, as a, you know, builder, installer, you know, the everything. So I'm a member of, you know, that club as well. So I have, you know, to assist them without getting any profits at all. And it's a very, you know, the good projects, you know, it's available in the, you know, the YouTube for the, you know, the audience to, you know, the view. The interesting thing on that, you know, the project, we have not used rear bars. 275, you know, the diesel with concrete, you know, the works without rear bars, because the product itself is working as a rear bar.
Okay.
Now, if you can comprehend, you know, this, we build, you know, the tank. 36 hours after the concrete, you know, the filling, we were managed to put compacted backfilling against, you know, the tank. No rear bars, concrete is only 36 hours old. What that is telling you, the profile is enormously, you know, strong enough.
Okay. So no rear bars also would mean no concrete cancer, yeah?
No concrete, you know, the cancer. Think about the energy efficiency.
Yeah.
Carbon dioxide, you know, the reduction. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you have a look at it, we'll talk about, you know, all these, you know, the issues. The biggest culprit in reinforced concrete, you know, the history is the usage of the rear bars.
Yeah.
They get corroded. Okay, that's the biggest, you know, the problem with the construction industry.
Yeah, that's true. Can you give me a background on Dinsel Engineering's approach to product design and R&D and innovation?
Yes. Now, the thinking behind had to incorporate most abundant and sustainable construction material, which is concrete. The solution had to address flexibility for architectural design, allowing easy modification during the construction, skill labor issues, productivity, safety, cost savings, engineering issues relevant to vertical building elements such as walls. So the Dinsel is a wall system. It's Legos made out of a, you know, re-engineered, you know, the PVC, and you know, we pour, you know, the concrete in it. That is your, you know, the structural, you know, the wall. I mean, you can use it for building walls, you can build tanks, you can build swimming pools, you know, wherever you can use concrete, you can use this product.
Okay.
It is important to, you know, to understand the concrete industry worldwide, it's worth about $15 trillion worth. $15 trillion.
Not a small amount.
Industry. Now, people, they, you know, universities, they come and talk to me, you know, they say, Mr. Dinsel, let's have a look at this type of, you know, the concrete. I said to them, don't waste your time. You are not going to compete with the, you know, the Portland cement industry. It's a $15 trillion worth. Now, instead of, you know, the challenging Portland cement industry, I decided to become the best friend of the concrete industry. So when you have a look at, you know, the concrete industry, it's got a number of handicaps. Now, concrete has been invented in circa 1800. In 1826, we put steel bars in it. Mm-hmm. We called it reinforced concrete. Then there is nothing substantial, you know, that happens to eliminate all these, you know, the handicaps, which I'd like to, you know, to go through, you know, with you. Now, conventional concrete is weak in tension. In tension, flexure, brittle, non-ductile, and cracks. You know, while the concrete, you know, the rest, hence the reason, that's why we use normally with the conventional concrete rear bars. Dinsel forms encapsulates concrete, and the concrete that the Dinsel forms works in a composite manner. Tests conducted at University of, you know, the Technology proves that Dinsel is capable of withstand magnitude 9 earthquakes, certified, 3 times more ductile and stronger in comparison to the same thickness of the conventional concrete wall. This way, the strength requirement is, you know, satisfied. Now, another, you know, to the issue, wet concrete requires forms to hold wet concrete until it's sufficiently, you know, to dries. I mean, as you know, you gotta have to go to, you know, the, you know, storage site, collect the material, bring it to, you know, the site, install it, remove it, take it back again. Okay, and this is basically, you know, the creating a lot of logistics, time, and the safety issues. These panels are being permanent in the formwork, having patented snap on, you know, panel connections. Has eliminated all these, the handicaps. It is nearly impossible to eliminate concrete wall crackings. I mean, in floor slabs, you can put out, you know, the tensioning, post-tensioning, pre-tensioning. You know, you can do a lot of, the things with the walls. You know, that's not possible, you know, to do that. Okay, so therefore, concrete cracks. You got to accept that. Mm-hmm. Conventional concrete, you know, the cracks. What do? We put joints in order to minimize the, you know, the cracking. Have a look at, you know, the footpaths. What they do with the footpaths, they put joints at 1 meter, you know, the centers. Yeah. In order to basically eliminate, you know, the cracking. If you basically make the walls with the, you know, the crack control, you know, the joints at 1 meter, you know, the centers, we would not need horizontal, you know, reinforcement for crack control purposes. This is what University of, you know, the New South Wales, this is structural manual, you know, states. Because our crack induces at 125 millimeter, you know, the centers, not 1 meter centers.
Okay.
When you have a look at the AS3600, what it says currently, if your load is not exceeding, you know, the 3 MPa, your joints is no more than 2.5 meter, you don't have to use horizontal, you know, the bars. What are you doing with, you know, eliminating the, you know, the horizontal bars? You are making the installation, you know, the simpler, much simpler. You are eliminating the possibility of damaging the, you know, the profiles. You are eliminating the, you know, the air voids, because the concrete you are pouring, if it is not vibrated, you know, the properly, sits at the top of that. You got an air void underneath of the, you know, the bars. Problem follows, you know, the one, you know, the after, you know, the each other. Now, this plus, you know, this concrete, you know, the cracking happens in within 36 hours. 90 to 95% of the, you know, the cracking happens within the, you know, the first 36 hours. So people need to, you know, to understand, doesn't matter irrespective of how much of a steel you are putting, steel doesn't do until concrete and steel bonds to each other. That's why, in order to, to get, some sufficient, development, you need to wait for a good, 2 weeks. Imagine a wet concrete within 36 hours. Mm-hmm. It has a stick to, the rear bars. What basic, the benefit you can possibly get from the rear bars? Okay, that's why, people really need to, to understand, this. Now, this panel joints has been designed, they have a patented, the bars, which makes the install panels waterproof, so the external contaminants cannot penetrate into the install forms to cause rear bar, the corrosion. Most coastal homeowners prefer the install for this reason. Waterproof permanent formwork also allows the concrete made from almost any materials. We built houses in New Caledonia. They got the world's biggest nickel mining there. Mm. We received the nickel mining rejects. They wash it with the seawater. Okay, if you bury that one into it, it's going to poison the the ground. We use that material for concrete making. The principle is this: stop the contaminants coming in. Stop the the salts and oxygen the coming in. You can use corals, mining rejects, coals, everything. You really, this is another, technology behind, the invention. I mean, people talk about, the sustainability, the issue. Material, resources. In Sydney, we run out of sand. Okay? And think about that. What is going to happen in 10 years' time? This is the solution.
Mm. Interesting. So what would be one of the biggest industry issues at the moment that the Dinsol product helps improve in terms of building outcomes?
Mm-hmm. I've been referring to biggest industry issues. Okay, for this one. Now, biggest industry, the issue is the skilled labor and the safety issues.
Okay,
that's one of the most important. That needs to be, the install basically, the assist, because like, the Legos, they are snapping, clipping, to each other. It eliminates, the scaffolding. Once you eliminate the need for scaffolding, that means you have, eliminated the falling from the, the heights.
Yep.
Okay. And, you saw our, the products, they are only, weighing 13, the kilogram. Nothing like carrying, the bricks, anything like, like that. So bricklayers, after 40 years old, they come basically, the work in the, the market. This is very, the lightweight. Eliminates the electrocution, the issues, a lot of, the things. The other important, the issue is the corrosion issue. That is one of the, the biggest, the problem, durability, the problem. Concrete, the cracks.
Yeah.
Contaminant comes in. What the AS3600, says, you need to have a sufficient, the cover over the top of the, the rear bars. So the rear bars has to be, correct, the position in order to get, sufficient cover. But if you cannot, stop the, the cracking, contaminants will come in, particularly, the subject, the coastal areas or below ground, the conditions. You cannot use it without a membrane, system. Okay, so the corrosion is the another, the issue people, they really need to, to consider. Now, 1st October 2023, Building Code of Australia, mold, mildew, and also, mold mildew issue, which is basically causes sick building, the syndrome, indoor air quality, the issues, condensation, the issues. It is becoming now, the mandatory.
Yep.
That means if you get, the water ingress into your building,
mm-hmm.
that is one of the, the main reasons. That's why you will have all this. Now, as you know, the mold mildew, requires moisture, water presence, and also it needs the food. Food comes from the, you know, the dust. Mm. Your home's got plenty of, you know, the dust. When you put two of them, you know, together, there is your mold and mildew issue. So therefore, if you want to, you know, to kill that, you know, the issue, you got to basically stop the water ingresses coming into the building. See, all technology is based on the breathability, you know, the issue. Okay, when you, you know, to think about that, you know, the technology is based in, because concrete, the bricks, basalt blocks, they are all porous materials. Mm-hmm. What the technology was saying, whatever comes in, it should back go out. Mm-hmm. Don't let it inside in the first place.
Fair enough. So what are some of the, or a couple of the building defects that the Dinsol product addresses? I mean, you mentioned water, and that's a big problem. I mean,
that's right, yeah.
Water dissolves everything. But what are some of the other building defects that it addresses?
Look, you know, some of the, you know, the, you know, the key issues are, you know, crack-free buildings. Mm-hmm. Crackings, you know, it's a major, you know, the issue. And conventional, you know, the construction requires joints. Joints means water, air intake,
right,
you know, the inside. I mean, you build, you know, the diesel a couple of kilometers long without putting any joints.
Okay.
Termite, you know, the treatment. You know, termite, you know, the issues. You know, eliminations of the, you know, the concrete cancer, you know, the decay. You know, for example, in the case of, you know, the termite issues, PVC cannot be eaten by, you know, the termites. And also, you know, we'll talk about the Dinsol waterproofing. Dinsol waterproofing is, you know, offering now up to 50 years zero leakage. Think about this. If water cannot pass through the, you know, the Dinsol joint, termite cannot go through the, you know, the same joint.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, what I'd like to, you know, mention, you know, since we are addressing the issues of to our audiences, mainly, you know, the architects, you know, I'd like to, you know, to make the points about, you know, from the architectural, you know, the point. Now, these are, you know, these provide ultimate flexibility from the dimensional set-out point. Any dimensional planning mistake can easily be attended, and these are, you know, the basically, you know, they can create as small as 800 millimeter radius. You can basically, you know, the create wonderful snake-shaped, you know, the structures. That's not, you know, the problem. That can be easily, you know, done. Now, because of the Dinsol waterproofing, excavation can only be 100 millimeter behind the wall. Normally, when you are putting a membrane, you know, that sort of things, you need to create minimum 900 millimeter space. Mm-hmm. So 900 minus 100, that means what you say, 800 millimeter. Multiply with twice, other side,
yeah.
1.6 millimeter. Mr. Architect, you just basically, you know, the gain 1.6 meter in your, you know, the basement. Mm-hmm. That's one of the, you know, the other dimensional, you know, the issues. Okay, and we talked about the mold mildew, you know, the issues. That's, you know, obviously, you know, the concern. And the product is suitable to any, you know, finishes with the raw paint, render, cladding type of, you know, the finishes. There is no limit, you know, for what you can do. You know, for, and also, you know, for, you saw our, you know, the equipment, we can, you know, the manufacture, you know, the product with a 1 millimeter, you know, the increments. So, I mean, if the custom links are, you know, the orders to suit, you know, the project, you know, that means you have eliminated the construction site wastage as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, you know, I think these are, you know, some of the, you know, the issues are important from the, you know, architectural, you know, the point. One more, you know, the important, you know, the issue, I, you know, from the innovation, you know, to the point I have to, you know, the emphasize is that, you know, when you are pouring, you know, the walls, you remove the, you know, the formwork within 36 to 48 hours, the water within the, you know, the wall evaporates. That causes the, you know, the shrinkage, rapid, you know, the shrinkage, the cracking, okay? And whatever the voids you left through there, it remains there. So that determines the porosity of the, you know, the concrete. What Dinsal does, because it's a permanent membrane on both sides of it, it eliminates the evaporations of the water, hydration continues, and that means your basic concrete next 20 years becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. You know, we built 200 apartments together with the Holcim in Canberra. We have used 50% less cement.
Okay. There's a cost saving there.
50% less cement. Think about, you know, the CO2 reductions, you know, that sort of things. Okay. And this was a CHC affordable housing, 200, you know, the apartments plus 23, the townhouses. Engineer, you know, the design, 20 MPa concrete. It normally requires about 290 kilogram per cubic meter of, you know, the cement. We slashed, you know, the half of it, 145 kilogram, replaced with, the eco sand. And guess what? When we design, when we tested, you know, the product at 120 days, 50% less cement, instead of a 20 MPa, we got 32 MPa, 50% less cement.
Okay.
This is what ongoing hydration, you know, does. Okay? And that's another, you know, the really, you know, the benefit behind, you know, the Dinsal. That's why when you design with Dinsal, your concrete is getting stronger and stronger and stronger.
So tell me about that Dinsal waterproof warranty, because that's quite important, isn't it?
Aye, absolutely, absolutely. Now, basement walls require, you know, the protection to prevent water moisture ingress to avoid still, you know, the reinforcement, corrosion, you know, the issues, which leads to, you know, the premature, you know, the building life. Damage to stored, you know, the goods, mold, mildew development, and the sick building, you know, the syndrome. Okay? Provisions of, you know, the agricultural lines to collect and discharge the groundwater is not working. As you everybody knows, you know, the 5 to 10 years, you know, the time, they block. They are useless. Okay? People, they say, ah, look, I'm not in the, you know, the water table. Your egg line is, you know, the block. Groundwater, you know, the seeps. You get, you know, the storm, you know, the conditions. Your water builds up, you know, for, you know, behind your wall, and you wonder why your wall is leaking. I mean, that's, you know, for, the issue. Apart from the, you know, the, these issues, the, you know, governments, you know, to consider allowance of the water ingress require ongoing pump operation, which is against the government energy efficiency policy. This is being, you know, the really emphasized at the moment. Also, same government, for example, there is a document, you know, from the New South Wales government, you know, clearly, you know, the states, groundwater ingress is considered contaminated. As a result, water ingress should be eliminated or absolutely minimized. Local council requirements, you know, vary. However, trend, is basically, you know, going that direction. They are requiring zero ingress, no pump out. Okay? And, there are some, you know, Sydney councils, you know, for applying these requirements, and I can see that that is going, you know, more and more. And this waterproof warranty comes with air void free warranty as a default. As a default, air voids can cause structural, fire, acoustic, durability, non-compliance. That's very important to have that. This waterproof warranty means this wall panel joints, and this wall and footing slab junction is waterproof. Not only the panel, the bottom connection is waterproof as well. This latest innovation, this water stop at the wall footing junction is placed at the water earth face of the basement wall. Water stop has got a special chambers in it. We insert the injection, you know, to the hose there as a part of the, you know, the system. when you inject it, there is nothing is coming from the, you know, the water, you know, to the face. That means we are providing not wet wool, we are providing dry wool.
Mm-hmm.
So, initially, you know, the architects, they can basically, you know, create habitable rooms any day in below ground conditions. This is the, you know, the new innovation. This is the only one, the first one in the world, you know, for next 20 years, patented, you know, for, and, you know, the, we have done under NATO registered laboratories, we done 3 major, you know, the testings in last, you know, the 2 years.
Mm.
We have, you know, the tried even with the segregated concrete. We done number of, you know, the different, you know, the scenarios. These tanks, they are 3.3 meter high, full with the, you know, the water. Anybody wants to, you know, visit us, we can take them to our, you know, the property, we can show those, okay? And they are not, you know, the leaking last 2 years. And, you know, from, and plus at the top of that, obviously all these testings are done under NATO registered laboratories. It's fully documented, photos, videos, you know, the everything. And plus, at the top of that, we have gone to one eminent, you know, the waterproofing, you know, the expert, okay? And, you know, for, it's not appropriate for me to give, you know, his name right at the moment. You know, for, he is basically, you know, for, finishes, you know, for initial, you know, the studies. He gives a, he gave us, a, you know, the thumbs up. Very soon we are going to, you know, to receive his, you know, the report. I'm sure, you know, the, his reports will carry a lot of weight, particularly for tier one and tier two, you know, the builders.
Mm.
And that's, you know, good news to Australian, in fact, you know, the worldwide, you know, the industry. As a result of that, you know, the we are inundated with the, you know, the inquiries, you know, that at the moment, not only from, you know, the Australia, okay, from, you know, the other parts of the, you know, the world. I mean, we are doing, you know, the developments in New Caledonia at the moment. We are applying that, you know, the technology. They are building, you know, the basement within the water.
So it's used in New Caledonia and Australia. Where else?
Look, you know, New Zealand,
mm-hmm.
in the Fiji, New Caledonia, you know, I mean, you know, the usage of the, all these areas, housing, apartments, offices, swimming pools, you know, I mean, thousands of them. You know, for agricultural use, factories, warehouses. We beating, you know, the Singapore by invitations, you know, from the Housing Development, you know, the board, you know, I sent, you know, the team of, you know, the, my people. We built them a stormwater, you know, the tanks the size of, a, you know, the football, you know, the stadium, you know, for using our 275, you know, the diesel. And, you know, the interesting thing is, you know, for, they subsidized, you know, for the product, and you know, well, they said to us how toxic these materials. Okay, I said to them, here it is, these are the materials, test it. Testing is done in, you know, the Singapore. We are 300% below the World Health Organization threshold level. Why? Because we are not using heavy metals.
Okay, as fillers, yeah.
Yeah, that's yeah, right. Yeah. Heavy metal stabilizers commonly used in the, but we are using, we are okay. not using the, you know, those ones.
Okay.
And also, you know, what we found out, eliminations of the heavy metal, you know, the stabilizers made a big difference, you know, the, from the UV, you know, the protections.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for New Caledonians, they work, you know, the here, you know, for only, you know, for 2 months ago,
yeah.
they were, you know, the here. I said to them, what happened to those, you know, the houses? Because they done the, you know, the houses, cheap housings, mm. okay? They didn't put any render, they didn't put anything, you know, on it. I said to them, what's happening with them? They said to me, they are saying they are as good as anything in New Caledonia.
Yeah.
This is nearly 15 years now. Mm.
So we hear a lot about housing affordability. That's something that's very much in the news. Mm. Do you think the DIMSEL product would help with that?
I wrote a document called Housing Affordability,
mm-hmm.
which is available in the DIMSEL, you know, the website. wrote that one about 20 years ago. What I stated in that document is exactly what's happening at the moment. Now, when you have a look at the housing affordability, you need to, you know, to have a look at from two angles. One of them is a time savings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you cannot, you know, to compare, you know, the diesel with any other, you know, the conventional, you know, the materials. We are 100 times faster than the, you know, the brick wall. Okay, before you start, you'll finish the job. And the time savings, and also, you know, the holding cost and the construction time, you know, the gross holding cost, you know, the, you know, the big time. I was talking to, you know, to the builder, one builder yesterday. He said, you know, for current at the moment, you know, the construction, you know, for, you know, the interest, 9 to 10%. I mean, imagine you are doing, you know, the, you know, for $50 million, you know, the project. You know, you think about how much money you could be losing for each, you know, the day. You know, when we invented, you know, the diesel, you know, the wall, I sold my trial products to the government, you know, the projects. First use was Cape Construction in Liverpool, government, you know, project. They use it in the, you know, the basements. Particularly when you have a look at the basement, you know, the construction, you cannot compare this with anything else. Okay? I mean, you know, it is, look, whole market is, you know, aware of, you know, this. Now, the another, you know, the issue is the cost savings. And there are other, you know, the documents, particularly if they have a look at the, you know, the housing affordability, there are enough links through there. We made, you know, the comparison. You know, the interesting thing is worldwide codes, by the way, you know, before I, you know, to develop this, I had to, you know, basically study American, Canadians, German, British, Euro codes. All those codes, you know, what's available. Interesting thing is, all those, you know, the codes, they have an unreinforced wall section. I wonder why, when we have basically developed the S3600, we got rid of the, you know, that section. However, S3600 clause 5.3 at the moment, it says you can go back to, you know, the Euro code. So therefore, the people in the rest of the world, they are designing, you know, the unreinforced, you know, the walls.
Right.
Okay. So I'm making this, you know, the point. If they have a look at, you know, the inside cracking inducers, you know, how we are eliminating the, you know, the rear bars, particularly with 275, it can be used without, you know, the rear bars, should make, you know, the big difference from the, you know, the sustainability, you know, the points. Now, there are plenty of other, you know, the testimonials for the, you know, the buildings done in the, you know, Dinsel, you know, the, you know, the website. When we use load-bearing Dinsel wall system, instead of slabs are supported by the, you know, the columns. By the way, when the slab supported by the, you know, the columns, because of the fire reasons, the slab has to be nothing less than 200 millimeter thick for fire reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So punching shear happens around the, you know, the column during the fire, so the slab could fall.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, to prevent, you know, the death. However, if you are using load bearing, you know, the walls, that requirement doesn't apply. 200 can become as small as 100 millimeter. See the difference?
Mm.
So if you are using, you know, the load-bearing in the wall system, for example, in Australia, we have also got acoustic requirements in apartments. You can get away with the 150 millimeter, you know, the thick slabs.
Mm.
When you use 150 millimeter thick slabs, if you got something like a 6.5-7 meter, you know, the span, you know, between the, you know, the walls, all you do, mesh reinforcement.
Yeah.
Okay? You know what it means? That means 30% cost savings.
Okay.
Structural cost savings and 50% time saving in the overall, you know, the construction. Try to beat that one as far as the, you know, the affordability is concerned. Mm.
Good point. Good point. I'm done with the questions.
Okay.
Did you want to say something?
Yes. Yeah. I'd like to add, the few things. Yeah. Okay. We have a team of, the professionals. They go and see architects.
Right.
They go and see, the architects, and one of the issues, is the failure, commonly, the coming up, is the fire issues. I'd like to, quickly, go through, that issue. Okay, I took a note through there.
I'll ask the question then, so makes sense. Yeah. So tell me about the issues in terms of fire and the BAL requirements.
Okay. Now, all internal, the dinsel walls complies with the deemed satisfying, the conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we don't have any, the issues. It's a group bound material, 7 times smoke, the criteria, 7 times bigger than the, better than the, BCA, the threshold. External wall is subject to combustibility assessment. This is the, the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And first, the dinsel PVC does not melt. Like timber, it chars. When the char happens, it cuts down the oxygen, so it cannot burn. At Victoria, the dinsel complies with the BREC certification, so no issues for external water use, wall use. Other states require comply with the, the AS 1530.1, which is a test methodology for, the combustibility assessment. It's a small, the sample. I'll show you that small sample. Here it is. We done, these testings. This is the, actual, the sample, the size, 45 millimeter diameter, okay, and 50 millimeter, the height. Okay, as you can see, the material stays, mm-hmm, externally charred.
Right.
Nothing wrong with the, the material. But the problem is with the 1530.1, this is designed for homogeneous materials. What they are, saying, diesel is 2.5 millimeter thick externally, minimum 100 millimeter concrete inside. So therefore, it's not a homogeneous material. So what they are saying, you can't use AS 1530.1. What do I do? There is no other testing. There is no other, the testing in the national construction, the code for composite, the materials. Okay? And that's really, the one of the, the issues. Now, fire brigades no longer, accept this 1530.1. They said this is too small, do a big fire testing. Authorities, then they have a look at what's available in the rest of the world. We have adopted from United, the Kingdom, their methodology called BR135.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but while we are adopting that, at the top of the BR135, they have put in additional requirements.
Right.
Okay. Because of those additional requirements, okay, the products in Australia unnecessarily are not, compliant. If they, for example, Dinsel complies left, right, center with the BR135. We are using our, the product under BR135 in New Zealand. We don't have a problem. We are using our, the product in Victoria under BRAC certification. Do you think the fire is United Kingdom, New Zealand, or Victoria is any different?
No.
No. So, this is the, the problem with the, ASP, they have introduced AS5013. Okay, AS5013 is the copy of the BR135 with additional, the requirements. Now, I think, the problem is adaptations of the BR135 as it is, calling it deemed to satisfy testing would help Australian construction and the insurance industry as well. This is one of the things. Otherwise, we are not going to get out from this, the mayhem. Dinsel, soon published peer review of a 2 eminent Australian certifiers stating that there is no issue of using Dinsel at external walls. Certifiers does not assume any responsibility for accepting, the code mark. A legal report supporting this statement will accommodate, certifiers report that should be, soon available. Very briefly, Very briefly, I'd like to, make a, mention. In last 2 years, what Dinsel, did, this will be very important from the, the audience, the point. Gyprock is a brand name for, the plasterboard.
Yeah.
Okay. And Dinsel is no difference. After 20 years, many Dinsel-like products available in the market, including New South Wales Building Commissioner, calls all these products Dinsel. Okay. It's a basically generic name. Okay. Building Commissioner has identified issues relevant to installations and workmanship issues. His main concern was air voids and the correct position of the, the rear bars. Dinsel took many steps to distinguish itself from inappropriate usage. My last post in the LinkedIn showing Building Commissioner's photo provides detailed explanation, but however, briefly, we took these steps. One, we have introduced Dinsel Academy. Mm-hmm. We have trained about 800 installers until today.
Okay.
Okay. We have introduced on-site auditing. We have after-sales service managers. They follow our, the product. They try to, prevent people are making mistakes on the sites. Mm. Okay. As requested by the commissioner, we have developed Dinsel rear clips. You can basically, you cannot fault with that one. You get a perfect, the spot. Okay. We have, started to work with the self-compacting, the concrete. Mm-hmm. Self-compacting concrete is introduced in 1980 in Japan. Even the Japanese, the workmanship is perfect. Okay. They could not cope with the workmanship problems. That's why they have introduced self-compacted concrete. Perfect material. All of Australian government, the projects at the moment using self-compacting, the concrete.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I encourage engineers and architects to, specify the self-compacting, the concrete for a number of reasons. One, it eliminates, the people putting adding water and the, the mucking around with the quality of the, the supply, the concrete.
Mm.
It eliminates that issue. So the concrete quality is, maintained, there. And also, most importantly, people, they say, oh, we got to vibrate, the concrete. You are not there. They may not do the, the vibration. They can vibrate under vibration. They can over vibration. This is still a problem. Self-compacting, the concrete eliminates the vibration issue as well. Okay, so you can have a peace of mind. You don't have to, supervise anything. All the guy has to do, hold, the pump, pour it, the inside. This is what self-compacted concrete does. And also, as what people they think, it is not, dearer than the, the normal 180 millimeter, slump, the concrete. When you consider, it is much faster application. You eliminate two, three guys to doing the, the vibrations.
Right.
And you have eliminate the scaffolding issues. In fact, it comes cheaper. It's no-brainer. Now, the last one is, we have introduced now waterproofing, the warranty. What we are, providing, up to 50 years, the zero leakage, the warranty. Okay, and, the warranty is applies to building owner. If you're owning, the one building, it gets a, the warranty.
Mm-hmm.
If you are selling, the building, it is transferable.
Okay.
So from the good point, from the real estate, the value.
Fascinating. And for more information, they can go to www.dinsel.com.au.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
Okay. Burak Dinsel, Chairman, founder of Dinsel Group. Thank you very much for that really educational talk. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you for doing this. I'm sure we will continue to contribute to our construction the industry. In fact, when you have a look at our website, it is like a school. I put a lot of documents through there. Okay, even the competitions are learnings. Copying, from us, but that's good. More to, the merrier, and, I'm basically hoping, you know, I'm servicing our industry, making, you know, the concrete better product.
Mm. You've been listening to Talking Architecture and Design. We've been with Burak Dinsel from the Dinsel Group. Until next time, goodbye. I'm Branko Miletic. Thanks for listening to Talking Architecture and Design, brought to you in association with the Architecture and Design Network. The A&D Network proudly presents the Sustainability Awards. You can find more information at sustainablebuildingawards.com.au.